Swiss Army Nation, welcome to your podcast. This show is about you, your passion, and your experiences. Join us for panel discussions, interviews, fan profiles, and so much more. When the curtain drops, the excitement begins. So let's go. Hello, my friends, and welcome to episode 103 of the Kiss Army Nation podcast. I'm Pasquale Vary, one of your hosts.
And I am Curtis Pera. Welcome to the show, everyone. On this episode's fan profile, we're going to focus on a guest we had the luxury to spend time with, both on Cruise Fest and also on Kiss Cruise 11. Pasque and I shared a lot of adventures and stories with our most colorful friend, who has an amazing history as a Kiss and rock and roll fan. We would like to share those stories with you. So Kiss Army, please welcome John Shots Hawkins.
Yes, sir.
Shots. His name too. His Navy. Welcome, guys. How you all doing?
Oh,
good,
fantastic.
Good. Nice to see you, man. It's been
awesome.
So long.
You too, guys. Man, it seems like forever since the last cruise, right?
Yeah, that's really. Right. That's really. Right. And you know, John, you know, we made you a promise on the cruise that we'd have you on the show, and now finally here you are.
You did.
You know? You did. So sorry it took so long to have you on, but you know, here you are now. Here you are.
I'm honored and appreciative of being here, you know, to be able to represent everybody and to be able to, you know, share a little story that we all started. I think Pasquale, you started it, and Claudio, you made it worse. So
that's a good one. I love it. You made it worse.
The more we drank, the more it became a storyline.
So, John, let's get to know you a little bit better, or better put, let's have our listeners get to know you a little bit better. Let's start with the first question. So, are you a rock and roll fan first or a Kiss fan first?
That's a really good question. I'd have to say, basically, growing up, you know, I was in a family of 10. I was the ninth of 10, thank God. And, you know, I had a lot of influence with rock and roll. So I'd have to say rock and roll first. I had a friend that lived next door to me, and his mom was a crazy Elvis fan. She had like the velvet portraits on her wall and always went to Vegas and played Elvis in her house. And I went over there a lot with him and her dad. And then my mom was a big Tom Jones fan. And yeah, you know, you kind of think, is that rock and roll? But yeah, I'd throw him into that category. He had that swagger and that really cool sound that, you know, when he sang and whatnot. One of my brothers was into the Doobie Brothers. Mm-hmm. And that was my first Doobie Brother album he gave to me. And one of my brothers was into Crosby, Stills, and Nash. And my oldest was into the James Gang before the Walsh got going. Yeah. So then I'm the only oddball who loved Kiss. And nobody else understands why to this day. And none of them ever wanted to go see Kiss live. They missed out.
So how did you finally get into Kiss?
I was in high school, freshman year of high school-ish kind of thing. And, you know, radio. We all listened to the radio so much back then. That was our main source of music, other than what my brothers and sisters or parents would play. And quite a few years, it was radio before I could afford to even get a phonograph, which was that record or the briefcase style.
Right,
yeah. Foldable, mm-hmm. Yeah. With the crappy needle. And I think my first actual 45 was the Beatles. Hey Jude and Revolution.
Okay.
Was 45. But then I heard Beth on the radio. I think the first time I heard Kiss or really recognized Kiss. And I went out and bought that 45. And of course it had Detroit Rock City on the flip side. So then I think 77. Double Platinum came out.
Okay.
Or maybe it was already out. I went to Tower Records, which was the big record store in everybody's neighborhood. It was my first time there, and I was going out there to find something to do with Kiss, anything. And the guy at the record store, my brother, took me out there, because I didn't have a car or anything. And the guy at the record store said that, hey, if you want, you know, looking through all the Kiss albums, I'm like, I don't know anything about these guys other than what I heard on the radio. And he's like, hey, this double platinum here is like the best of their greatest hits. You might like this one. And that silver, you know, album and the embossed, you know, faces and the logo just, you know, hooked me in. That was great. And I played that for a long, long time over and over again before I bought any other Kiss albums, you know, or trying to get more into it. So
what is it that got you there? It was more into the music or the visuals? There must have been a lot of magazines and merch at that
good
time.
Question.
So what was it?
After getting some music on my own and really getting involved in that, I explored a little further with Kiss original album. Because I recognized a lot of the hits when I played that album. Honestly, when I played Hotter Than Hell, I wasn't too pleased with that at first because it was pretty hard. And then when I heard the Alive the first time, I was more preferable over the studio sound than the Alive sound. I'd never been to a concert yet. I had no idea really what that was like. But with that in mind, I'd say seeing them live on TV when they did this Meets the Phantom of the Park. Mm-hmm. I think once that point hit, what was that, like 78-ish maybe?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was pretty hooked on them about that time, hearing them all the time and listening to my records. I mean, I didn't go out and get any other kind of record other than this at that time. But when I saw them do their live parts of that show, you know, and they played that Rock and Roll All Night, which was pretty popular on the radio by then, I was hooked. I was really hooked.
Forever.
Yeah. it's, you know, y'all know how that feels.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
The very first time.
And, you know, speaking of visuals and concerts and Kiss Live, so when have you seen Kiss in concert for the first time?
The first time, 1979, Kiss Dynasty Tour. I have a best friend of mine, Hal Hudson. A lot of cruisers met him. He came out on Kiss Cruise 2 with me. Got it for him and his wife as a wedding gift. Got him a cabin, came out there. And we basically spent all high school together with him on that. Well, one day, you know, we had a few classes in high school together. One day he didn't come to class, you know. So I come home and there's this phone call as soon as I come in the door, and it's him, and he's telling me that, you know, he was home all day, wasn't sick, just decided to stay home. You know, if we skipped school, we were like toast with our parents. That was that huge, right? And this guy has the knack for winning things on the radio, I tell you. I mean, to this day. And so he said, you know, they were giving away Kiss tickets, and he said he just kept trying all day long, every hour on the hour. That's how they always gave tickets away back then. And he won. And so when he called me, he told me he won tickets to see the show, and he wanted me to go with him, of course. And I was like so excited, and I was like, oh, okay, now I got to tell my parents. I'm raised a Roman Catholic, you know. And Kiss is like, oh, well, my mom knew I loved Kiss, you know. My walls and ceiling were decorated with posters and memorabilia. I swear to God, not an inch was visible without it. And, you know, I'm surprised she let me go. But, you know, what saved us was his dad was willing to drive us there. It was in San Francisco.
Okay.
I grew up in Sacramento, California. So the Bay Area was a couple hours away. So his dad was cool enough to say, well, okay, I'll drive them there and I'll go bowling while they watch the show, because they were like really into bowling. So my mom was cool with that. As long as there was an adult, a parent,
you're good to go.
It didn't matter if he was there or not. So yeah, that's what allowed us to go. And that experience was unbelievable, to be honest, because I'll have to dime him out right now here in live. Hal Hudson is his name, and best friend. We've known each other since our freshman year of high school. You know, brothers from another mother. Couldn't have a better fucking guy in my life. He's been there with me my whole life. even when we both went in the military and partied a little while, we found each other by our mothers. This guy would not leave me alone. He found me. No, I'm just kidding. And so, you know, I'm telling you, it was pretty amazing to do that. And while we were there at the show, you know, it was general admission tickets back then, right? So easy, you know, to once, you know, being a first timer, you didn't know what to expect, how it all flowed out, to get in there, go through the motions and whatnot. But general admission meant get in there, sit, find a spot and sit on the floor, right? And wait. And so, you know, you hear that, you know, you're waiting and they're playing Kiss music, you know, overhead, and you smell, you know, marijuana floating around you, and you're waiting. And I remember specifically the band The Rockets opened up for them. Who the hell they were, I don't know, honestly. But and I remember them getting booed at the end of the set.
Okay.
But, yeah. And but, you know, at that time during that show, there was Hit Parader and Cream Magazine. And those were big influences of getting, you know, information about Kiss, basically. I mean, it was almost all the information you got out of them, pretty much. And you got all the pinups and all the posters and stuff were on my wall, too. And Paul talked about that vision or dream he had, you know, of just appearing on stage, in an essence. And, you know, that led to the segue of the, you know, we were over, I would say we're about five rows equivalency back then, standing away from Gene's side of the stage. There were no rows, obviously. And, you know, we were short and we're looking up. That stage seemed pretty tall, you know, to you when you're in high school, right? And you're looking up there and you're waiting and it's quiet, it gets dark, and then there's the disco ball in the center of the arena. This was at the Cow Palace in San Francisco. It's still there. That venue is still there. And, you know, all the spotlights shone on that, you know, disco ball, and it's spinning around and circulating, and you're starting to feel, you know, I don't want to say nauseous or dizzy or anything, but, you know, caught up in the moment, you know,
right,
like,
yeah,
you know, what is this? And then I'm constantly looking at the stage, and what I think is the stage is just the platform in front of me, because you see the big Kiss speakers behind, you know, everybody knows what the Dynasty stage looked like. It was bigger than it really is to me in my vision. And you see the Kiss, you know, in between all the speakers, and then you see the drum set in the center, and then, you know, all of a sudden all that fog came out and it covered that whole stage, and you just heard that guitar tone from King of the Nighttime World just going and going, you know, and it just wouldn't, you know, kept going, and everybody's louder and louder, and I swear that's the loudest, you know, noise I ever heard in my life when they played at that concert, because I had never been around noise like that ever. And, you know, and then you see all the spotlights shining up at the upper level, you know, where the drum is, and the upper levels we all know was the elevators, you know, that brought them up. And particularly I'm looking up where Gene came up, and then Peter's next to him, and over on the right is Paul or Ace and Paul. And it's so, they're so illuminant and colorful, and their makeup seems so crystal clear. You know, you couldn't draw it or paint it better than it looked. You know, it almost is like, it was, you know, like a dream.
Yeah.
In a sense. Surreal. Well, but,
yeah.
And when it cleared, you know, the fog cleared, and it seemed like it came to a stop, and I could see Gene just kind of shake a little. And I'm looking at Peter, and you got the voodoo dolls on his shoulders, and you look over at Ace, and he's silver in his cape, the capes and the color, and they're each in their own stance. Gene had his I love you hand, and Peter was the peace sign, and Ace was the thumb, and Paul had his fist up in the air, and they were just frozen. And everybody's getting louder and louder. And I started to think, these aren't them. They're not real. These are mannequins. So I'm looking on the main stage thinking they're going to pop out down there. And then the song starts and here they are. They start moving and coming down. That just blew me away.
What a beautiful way to describe it, man. It's as if we are there, man.
Yeah. As if you were there.
My goodness. So you must have seen many, many shows, and if you want to name a few, but from all of the shows that you've seen, which was your favorite and why?
Oh, good questions. Obviously, the first, you never forget being okay. Your favorite, and especially with all the turmoil and, the ills and what went on with the band at that time. You think back and you go, okay, was Peter really up on the stage at that time when I saw that show? Or was that really Ace over there? Yeah, it was. And I'd say my second favorite show was the reunion show. Oh. In reunion, I saw in Milan, Italy. Oh, I was in the Navy. I was stationed out there in Italy, on the island of Sardinia, which is off the mainland of Italy. Had to take a ferry overnight to see that. Well worth it. We spent like an afternoon on the dive boat spray painting this big banner saying U.S. Navy divers love Kiss.
Nice.
We brought it with us. And what was hilarious about this and unforgettable was that we got there early in the evening. It got dark early that night, and Milan is like the fashion capital of the world. I kid you not, if you've never been there, you go down the main streets and it's just like these buildings with windows and all fashion, through there. And not that I was really looking for that, but they had you wait way past the parking lot outside the gates on a sidewalk. I mean, you were way away from the venue, like outskirts of the parking lot. And they had you line up. And then there's one little like fence and gate opened up to let you in. And so it was me and this other guy, and I was a Navy diver at the time. So we were really fit and could run and stuff like that. And as soon as they opened the gates, we took off booking. We were sprinting. We were like, we're going to be the first ones in there. And this was like a good, oh my God, 200-yard dash before we could hit the steps going up into this venue. And we looked back before we got to the steps, and nobody's there. We were like, okay. So we start running up the steps. We get about halfway up, and my friend starts tripping and falling. And I'm laughing and I'm looking back at him and I just keep going. And we get to the top and they stop you. Where's your ticket? General admission again. And you go inside and everything's lined up, the merch and all that stuff. And I didn't have money to buy merch back then. I just wanted to go see the show because I was out there in Italy. So you go down there and you got out on the general mission floor again and just sat down on the floor and waited, and got to your spot. And so at that show, we were basically on the rails right in front of Gene. And that crowd was really crazy because it was more like a mosh pit. Those people there would push and shove, and it came in waves, and we're on the front and I'm getting crushed, and then it would relief, and I'm getting crushed, and it would relief. And I look up, and Gene's got his arms crossed, and he's just looking down. What seems like he's looking at me, and I'm looking up going, I give him these hands like, it's not me. I can barely move. What he's doing is he's looking at the people causing the problem. And of course, security all runs over there and it moves them away and whatnot. But that was the best show to see them come back. And to be able to do that somewhere in Europe, the opportunity.
Yeah, that's unique.
Amazing. It was amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So speaking of amazing, I want to talk about Kiss Cruise a little bit. We met actually at the Cruise Fest. I remember, you know, one of my most memorable experiences was that night on night one outside when we were on the terrace sitting down with all the KISS fans and just hanging out. That was just amazing. So, John, what was it for you? What was your most memorable experience for day one of Cruise Fest?
Oh, day one. Gosh. Of course, meeting you.
Oh,
you're,
so
in
nice.
Your awesome sailor suit.
Oh, God.
Officer. I was impressed. That was a good outfit.
That was fun.
You know, it was pretty casual the first night. I got there two nights before, I believe. Mm-hmm. And nobody was even there until that night. I was surprised. But then, you know, there was the casual bar hangout. Yeah. And everybody started integrating again and starting mm-hmm. to see everybody that, you know, I recognized, and some that I didn't came up to me. And then doing that show was really impressive. We got to do the meet and greet, of course, with Pod and Anton and
oh yeah,
and those guys. Yeah. Oh my gosh. That was great. Keith War, I can't leave him out. Love mm-hmm. that guy. Mm-hmm. And you know, being able to, you know, the gathering in itself, even though it wasn't like an over the top kind of party-esque kind of environment, it was really more fitting, I thought, mm-hmm. just to be more casual. And then, you know, of course, we had the show with Craig Gass. It's a great night doing that. And then the meet and greet, of course. The highlight of my part of the meet and greet was, I always kill myself because I always forget his name, but I've seen him the last two or three cruises. He's always in a wheelchair, and I hope he's not offended, and I hope he recognizes me, because I'm sure he knows, recognize the experience. But I just want to say that, you know, he didn't have the meet and greet. You know, he couldn't afford to get in a meet and greet. He's always by himself. His wife does other things, but he gets around on his own perfectly fine, and he communicates well. But every time I see him, I feel compelled to spend time with him. And and he's a great rocker. And I took him in. You know, I talked to Joe. I'm like, you know, Joe, he's out here by himself. Can I get him in? And Joe was like, yeah, let him in. And so we went in there, and he loved, you know, Todd. He loved Freely's comment. He, you know, that was just like his day. And so I made sure I got him right up to those guys where they were at the table so that he could talk to them and get some pictures with him. And I was like, okay, you guys, you realize you all got to get up and come over him over here to get the photo. He's not going to come to you. And so he got a great photo. I put it on Facebook a few times, and he even called Todd out to play a favorite song of his, which the next night he did. Wow. He remembered, and even, you know, mentioned it, you know, live before he played it, which I thought was pretty special.
So now we're looking at day two. What was your most memorable experience at the Yoast, those shows?
You guys on the bus.
I remember.
That was, yeah.
That was a good,
okay.
That was a good ride.
Talk about a party bus.
No, both of you. If it was a bus with alcohol, it would have been way out of control.
Yeah.
Anyways, no, man, that was a great party, really good party. Venue was amazing.
Yeah,
the historical. Good. It was beyond what I imagined it would be, and the cover bands were impressive. I wasn't a big fan of Fair Warning, obviously. You know, to be honest. The guy that did Eddie was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But, oh my gosh, the other bands.
Amazing. The Iron Maidens.
And to see Eddie in those different fashions, I caught good photos of him coming out there. I mean, those girls, that's a pretty perfected act there mm-hmm. for sure. And then to see Anton play that solo.
Oh, wow. God,
blew me away. I started crying. Really? Not really.
they I remember they sounded so tight, you know, that was it was amazing. It was amazing to be there.
Yeah. And even Andrew got out there and played a little bit.
Yeah.
Stuff.
Yeah.
That was
Yeah.
fun to watch. Kudos, yeah. Andrew.
Yeah.
I'm sure Anton is a big idol of his. But...
You know, cruises. How many cruises have you been to?
I've been to eight.
Eight. Oh, wow. Nice.
1 through 3. 6, 7, and 8, and 10 and 11. Yeah.
Okay. And which was your favorite and why?
Oh, there has to be two in that category. The first one, everybody who's been on the first one has to probably say, oh, that was the best one, because one, you didn't know anything about the Kiss Cruise.
Right.
Two, you didn't know what to expect. And I have to throw a lot of love out there to Dana, who, you know, was at first a Kiss fan of association with me through marriage, but then I became the fan of association through her, because she found out about the cruise.
Okay.
Online, miraculously, right? And so we were like, we're definitely going, you know, without a doubt. And you know, I don't know, at that time, it was just, that was overwhelming. It really was. Anything and everything about that was perfect, flawless, wonderful, right? Even giving out 500, you know, onesies, you know,
yeah,
and being
right,
at the
right
spot at the right time, just hearing it overhead, come to this place and get a onesie, or let's go, yeah, whatever that means. And so, on that first cruise, I have to say, it was hilarious, but for her, it's kind of embarrassing, but I'm going to say it anyways. We were on deck 7. I don't know. Do you remember what decks y'all were on during that first cruise on the Carnival cruise ship?
Yeah, I don't remember.
Okay. Well, deck 7 was where Kiss was at.
Oh.
And everybody heard about that story about how their dressing rooms were down at the forward end of deck 7. Okay. And so, well, our cabin was on the starboard side of deck 7, which was the same side of Kiss's dressing rooms. And we were anchored out that day on their island, I think, the island that Six Man had at the time. We decided not to go in. We were hanging out astern, and Skid Row was out there. So we were partying with Skid Row. unfortunately, if we hadn't like taken a break to eat lunch, so we were getting pretty loosey-goosey, right? And so we realized, we looked at our clocks and we're like, okay, we got to get up and get ready for the show. It was photo time for us.
Oh,
so
true.
We're running up there. We're getting up on the elevator. We're heading towards our room, and we go around the corner to head up the passageway, and Six Man Security says, stop, you got to stay there. Don't move. So we stop and we're looking like, what's going on? And we're like, here they come.
All oh, wow.
One after the other. First it's Gene. And I saw Gene, I like drop to the floor. I'm like paying homage like a rock god. I was bowing, and Gene just started laughing, and he put out his fist to bump me. And then Paul came behind him. And as I was looking to the floor, Dana rushed to Paul and said, I feel like I'm your mother.
That's like, what she said.
I'll never forget him saying, you feel like you're my mother. But you know, we're 50. He's she has kids. She just had that vision of, I don't know.
Nice.
To this day, she says she feels so stupid about it. But I'm like, no, you touched him.
That was so
you
cool.
Think, exactly. Wait a minute, there's something that somebody hasn't said to me yet.
Exactly.
And so you know, and then Tommy came, and then Eric came, and they went down, and you know, humility and excitement kind of rounded that all up. And I'm sure, you know, for them, that was pretty fun, pretty exciting. And then there was another night where the second night, I think they were coming down the hallway same way, and everybody's ready for them.
Of course.
So they're,
now they know.
They're all hanging out the cabins and stuff. I have a video of it. And Paul peeks in our cabin and says, isn't this fun? And keeps going.
Oh, wow.
And of course, after that, they were like, we're not having any more of this on this cruise.
First and last. That's right.
That's it. Give us a heads up, or we're not on the same deck.
Hey, John, do you plan going on Kiss Cruise 12?
You know, I'm open to it. I am.
Yeah, you're still open to it.
You know, we've all heard the initial idea of it being like Paul and his soul station band.
Yeah,
and Gene being Gene's his band.
Yeah.
I know Eric is the drummer of Soul Station, so I'm not sure where Tommy would fit in unless they brought Black and Blue on board or something. But
okay.
to me, at this point, you know, not being able to see him in makeup anymore kind of takes away the swagger of the Kiss Cruise, in my opinion. But
it makes a difference,
It would take a lot of more enticement for me, you know, maybe bands I want to see, or even a different location, maybe.
Right.
Overseas, I feel like it would be a good thing to do something like Spain or something for, you know, all the Kiss fans who are over there and deserve for us to have to come to them for a change. But
true, it has to be different.
I would do that,
no
I
doubt,
without a doubt. Yeah.
So, John, I love the way you tell stories. It's so visual.
Shut up.
So I want to hear more. I want to hear more. So specifically, I want to hear about some of your Kiss-related events that you may have gone to, for example, Kiss Expos.
I have never gone to any of the Kiss Expos.
Oh, no? Okay.
Not at all, no. You know, I guess maybe being on the West Coast growing up, I don't know if they never came out there other than L.A., but up in Northern California, I'd never heard of them. And I think by the time I really did hear about them, I was already in the Navy and too busy, too away to be involved with that. It would have been something really awesome to see. But I, you know, kind of like what we see when we go on the Kiss Cruises now, we see that Expo S set up with all their, you know, gear and all their awesome memorabilia. I mean, I would imagine that's what the Expos were like, other than seeing cover bands or even Kiss coming out, partial Kiss coming out and playing. And you know, after a while, we started seeing Kiss cover bands. You know, so it was like the Expo expatiated beyond that, you know, that we all got to see later. But no, I was never privy to any Expos at the time.
Do you have any favorite Kiss tribute bands?
Tribute bands. Wow. There's one in San Antonio that was called Kiss This. I think that was the first one I'd seen. And Paul Stanley was called Tall Paul because the guy was like 6'2". And then Gene was actually bald. And Ace Frehley was like 5'4". They called him Mini Me. And that guy,
Mini Ace.
Ace, like I'd never heard. He could play Rocket Ride flawlessly. It was just so fun to watch. Yeah. And of course, you know, they had the didn't do the blood spitting, but they did the flames and a little bit of the body stuff. Okay. Yeah. You know, as much as the bar would allow them. I think that was the best cover I'd ever seen. I'd seen a couple randoms, but
okay.
So, John, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't you mention on the Kiss Cruise that you were looking at organizing some kind of Kiss event?
What? You're wrong.
I am, huh? Did you ever consider organizing something? I thought you mentioned that.
I think all I've ever really been a part of doing that I felt I loved to do was when we went on Kiss cruises the first few times, I always shot video from the day we got on board in the atrium and when showing everybody, and I would always be doing the shots and getting close-ups and tongues and everybody, because I wanted everybody that couldn't be there to be a part of the experience.
Right. Okay.
Especially when we did the pub crawls, the bar crawls, Andy's and Jeff Hopkins' infamous bar crawls. Did you guys participate in any of those?
No, I didn't.
Oh my God.
I think on Kiss Cruise 4, I did it.
Okay. All right. Kiss Cruise 4, 1, 2, 3. See, I wasn't there for that.
Okay.
But before I found out about those, Andy and Jeff Hopkins, shout out to both of those guys, ran the bar crawls, the pub crawls. And what an amazing thing to do and to orchestrate, because that took a lot of planning, you know, to set up the bars, to get the t-shirts, to get the group together every time. I don't know which cruise it was, maybe Kiss Cruise 6, I think, is when I started doing it with Andy when Jeff wasn't going to them quite often.
Okay.
And Andy would still set them up, but I would get with him and start putting the word out to everybody. And then when we started doing the actual crawl, that's when I would turn on the video cameras and get in everybody's face and say, "Shots, give me your tongues." You know, a lot of people didn't want to put the tongue out until I got them to put the tongue out. And great photos, great video, all for the people who couldn't be there.
Nice.
And so, but to go a bit further with that, one time Kiss was doing a tour. It was before the World Tour, the Freedom to Rock Tour, I believe it was, where they were selecting a roadie for the day.
Right.
For every show. Well, it just so happens I got selected for one of those. And to this day, I wonder if I was the only Kiss cruiser who ever got selected for that. Obviously, you know, obviously Kiss Army, a lot of them got selected. But Dana's brother's wife, sister-in-law, ex at the time, worked on an Army base up in San Antonio. And there was a show up in Dallas in Irving at the time for Kiss coming up. And they basically asked her as the welfare representative to find somebody. And she knew right away who she was going to find from association. And so she contacted Dana and then told me, I was like, "You got to be kidding me." You know, one of those things you just hear about and you thought, "No, that's not me. I would never, never. You couldn't make me do that." And here it is, you know, she got me selected. And so she and I got to attend the whole event of the day. You got there early. I had the camera rolling for everybody from the beginning point. As soon as I walked in there, showing the venue, showing them setting up. Oh, it's amazing to see them set up a stage from nothing to, you know, the very finality of being ready to show. The acoustical area where they did the, you know, the acoustical meet and greet, you know, set up. We got to set up the picks on the mic stand. About all we got to do. Technically. And so, you know, and you got to hang out with the roadies for the day. Oh my God, the stories I got from some of those guys when we had lunch together and whatnot. There was a roadie who was probably with them for about, or in the business for about 60 years. He had just passed away not long ago, and he was on every Kiss cruise. Everybody knows his name, but I always forget. A very close personal friend of Kiss and all those members, they all know who he is. And I'll just give a shout out for that, you know, because I always forget who his name was. But he always tuned the guitars. He always had them ready for the stage, live shows, Kiss cruise shows, all the time. We got to do time with them. And then, you know, you got to see the makeup room, and you got to, we stayed in the house area where the techno booths are, you know, where they have all the technicians set for the show. You know, you're a ways away from the stage and you're watching. And they told me, okay, when Paul comes out to the center and he does his love gun and whatnot, when he starts Black Diamond, you have to go head towards the stage. So he started to play Black Diamond and I'm heading to the side down the way. And this venue was really nice because both sides of the stage was like a nice pathway of people to walk. And then there was bars, long bars on each side. So, you know, you didn't have any trouble getting to a bar. You didn't have any trouble making your way in any direction. So as soon as I got out there, I started making my way to the stage and the bar was just getting ready to close. So I had to run to the bartender and say, "Give me a shot real quick." He's like, "We're closing." I'm like, "I don't care." She's like, "Okay, here." She just gave it to me without charging me. I said, "I'm nervous. I'm going backstage." And so I got backstage and I go up there and they have you wait and they let me in. And, you know, there's all the roadie equipment off to one side, and I can look to my right, and there's Peter's drum set all on the rise over there. They're playing at the time, and I can see Paul and Gene and Tommy out in front of me and the curtains and whatnot off to the side, and they had me wait there. And so it got to the point of, you know, rock and roll all night, and they're playing it. And it's amazing because when you're standing behind the band, you can't hear nothing but instruments. You can't hear vocals. And I'd never experienced that before. And I'm like, first I'm looking around going, what's going on here? And you can even hear when they're messing up the chords, mind you. So the confetti's falling and all that stuff. And the guy says, okay, when they get to this point, you guys are just going to walk straight out there. It was me first. And then there was a mayor and some Coast Guard and that kind of thing that were going to be honored. But they said, you'll go directly out there and stand next to Paul. I'm like, okay. And so I'm looking to my right, and they're getting to this point of the show where, you know, the pinwheel's flicking and the pots are flying and the flames and whatnot. And the pinwheel's like shooting, speckling off of me. And before the break, Eric came down, was coming back behind the little walkway, and there was this cable in the way, and he tripped on it. He got all pissed off and started swearing at the roadies, saying, what's that doing there? He was pissed off. And they're like, we'll fix it, we'll fix it. And he goes back out there. And so I went out there, you know, to be with Paul at the certain point that they told me to. And the stage was so spongy, so thick of spongy foam. I felt like I was walking on clouds, you know, and I'm out there next to Paul, and it just became surreal, right? The crowd's cheering because he's starting to announce me, right? And I just, honestly, I just felt so honored to be representing all our fellow brothers and sisters in arms at that time. And I said the same thing to Gene later in the experience that night, but to go out there and to stand next to him, I look over to my right, and there's Gene. He's got his arms crossed over his axe, giving the rock fingers, and he just nods at me. And then I look to Paul, and I'm just, Jesus Christ, he's so much taller than me. And I look out in the crowd, and you think you would be nervous, but I started to recognize so many people from the cruise. You know, I see quite a few people I know. He starts talking about veterans. Now all of a sudden the veterans are cheering, you know, because they're being recognized. And a couple of them I knew. One girl took a shot of me, picture of me that I knew, which is a really great photo I had. And, you know, then Paul read, you know, a brief synopsis about my time in the Navy and what I
really done. Oh my God, yeah. Wow. What an experience. And, oh, know, my goodness.
Then they did the Pledge of Allegiance, which was really cool.
And, wow.
And he shook my hand, and you know, when you meet him at meet and greets and stuff, it's kind of a different experience. It's of still course. A really close experience, but this one was the epitome.
No, can't even get experience. Close, you know, to this. No, no. Oh my God.
So you know, fortunate, and talk about being in the right place at the right time.
Yeah.
In life, period.
Wow.
In life.
Hey, John, you know, speaking of, you know, meeting people and seeing your fellows there in the front row, I guess we all agree that KISS is a unique, you know, pathway to meet amazing people who with time will become friends. So like we're doing here now. So speaking of that, have you met, you said that you met some of the members of KISS, but out of the members that you have not met, who would you like to meet and why?
Oh, wow. Peter Criss.
Peter Criss? Okay.
I actually just, somebody had posted something on Facebook recently, and I kind of took that off a page and threw it on my own to see how everybody would kind of reply on their own. But
okay,
you put out like, okay, here's the six guys I've seen who wasn't the one I've actually really seen. And everybody got it wrong so far, but it was Peter Criss.
Okay.
And, you know, I wish, and I still wish, you know, it's, the opportunity came and went not long ago when they did the Tennessee gathering. But yeah, Peter Criss was the only one I haven't really actually ever had a chance to even meet in a meet and greet, you know, just on an acquaintance kind of thing. But
okay,
that would be really awesome. I mean, how do you say any other thing than that? That, I mean, he's the only one I haven't met. And so other than, you know, you have memorabilia with signatures, that's not the same.
No, you got to meet them, of course. Right. Yeah,
I would love to meet him.
So, John, you know, Fans seem to love Kiss for many different reasons, right? Obviously, for the music. Fans also love collecting. Other fans are in tribute bands. Some have projects such as books and videos. Others actually get to work with the band. In other words, you know, there's many different aspects to being a Kiss fan. Now, for you, you know, what aspect of Kiss fandom do you gravitate towards more? For example, is it more collecting? Like, do you have any kind of fan projects going on? What would it be for you?
To me, it's for now, it's been going to as many shows as, you know, possible.
Yes, you can.
My realm, yeah. And I'm not one of those who goes to every show everywhere you can kind of thing. I can't afford that. But my collectibles is very just unique and individual for myself. It's not, you know, over the top or anything like that. Just, you know, like a lot of us, like I see you, Claudio, you have things that really mean a lot to you back there. And it's unique. I like that. And so, yeah, I don't know what else to say there.
And the music, of course, huh? The music, you know, above all. Yeah.
I don't know. Other than memorabilia and whatnot, going to the cruises was the probably the next best thing, you know, so unique being a retired Navy diver and being a Navy chief and being Navy, you know, when that first came about, I was like, okay, well, let's see where they go with this, you know?
Yeah.
And I liked, you know, hats off to Six Man and hats off to Anthony, who I saw, you know, at the very beginning of the deck plates kind of, you know, you want to say sailor, but you know, he was a staff member. Everybody knows Anthony. Now he's the CEO of Six Man, which is impressive as all get out, and kudos to you, Anthony. And Anthony's been a good friend and a good, you know, shipmate at times throughout all of this with Dana and I, and I love him for it. And he'll always be a Kiss brother to me.
Beautiful. And,
you know, just, you know, those experiences, you know, we would have loved to have all been on all of them if for those who weren't, and for those who did, that's awesome for them. And you never want to see it stop, of course. And, you know, if they can't stand ships anymore, then you want them to go do a resort like Kid Rock did, or some of the other groups do now on land, you know, at a beach. But, you know, the Kiss is Gene's what, 72? All 70? I don't know. Quote me on those ages.
Yeah,
but
74, 72. You know, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
It's clear, you know, that the makeup version of Kiss is definitely coming to an end. And I think they're doing it in a great, you know, really positive way.
Yeah.
You know, honestly, I would love to see Ace and Peter get out there. You know, there's all those people who feel differently, and all those ones, you know, feel they don't deserve it or blah, blah, blah. To me, being a fan since the beginning, and being a fan when it all went south, and being a fan when they resurrected themselves, all the members in between, you got to love them because they're Kiss. You know, you can't say anything negative at all about them. And it's hard to compare, even though you can compare, like Tommy and Ace. But you love Tommy. You love Ace. Okay. Two different eras, all right? But when it comes to the last two shows, I mean, as far as Kiss saying there was always a possibility of us being able to see them at any of these final shows, if there is a time to do it now, I would hope to see it now. If in any way, shape, or form, I could care less how, as long as they just walked out there on stage together for one last time, would be beautiful.
So, John, we're about to wrap up the show, but before we do that, you know, it kind of begs the question, based on what you were just saying, you know, we all know that Kiss is on their end of the road tour. Now, where do you see yourself as a Kiss fan when Kiss reaches their illustrious end of the road?
You know, that's a good question, because a lot of people are in this, you know, phase of our life where they're hitting up all the 80s bands, and you know, all those bands have caught on to this mantra of, we're playing our 40th anniversary, we're playing our 50th anniversary, even though they weren't even together for 10 years or, you know, what have you. But they're doing it. And, you know, a lot of people are enjoying that. And I think I like some of that. But as far as I'm concerned, I'm at that point where like, okay, there's a few more that I still want to see. But I think when I've seen them, or if I don't get a chance to see them, I'm done with that.
Okay.
And I'm getting ready to move to Hawaii next year. So I know the being able to see these bands are much more, less and less. But this, I've been delaying this for the final date of Kiss's shows, as a matter of fact.
Because of that.
Out there. So, but everybody, you know, nobody goes out to Hawaii anymore to play. Mm-hmm. It used to be where every band went to go on vacation at the end of their tour. When I was stationed out there in the 80s, a lot of 80s bands came out there for their very final show of their tour. And there was a venue called The Shell. It's an amphitheater that's still there that they all went and played at. But not so much anymore. It's surrounded by neighborhood, you know, controlled by, you know, the masses that say nothing past 11.
Right.
So, but
different times.
As far as Kiss, you know, anything and everything. Kiss 2.0, not going to be a fan of that as far as any concerts are concerned. But, you know, everybody has their own feelings.
Yeah, mine, yeah.
You know, I'm happy with the way it's ending. I mean, I'm 60. Pask, you're probably 65.
Whoa. Hey.
He's so funny. I love this guy. Pask,
you look 64.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, speaking of ending, are you going to the Madison Square Garden shows?
Yes, I'm going to go to both.
Nice. Oh, nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you guys? Say?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Nosebleeds, but we're there.
I'm in the nosebleeds, but I got myself front row no matter what. So, you know, just being there is enough for me, just to be there. Exactly. And to be able to see everybody again, hopefully these, you know, pre-parties sort of. And Andy Moyen's doing something on Saturday and I think Sunday, but it's his usual, you know, meet at a place. It's actually a pretty popular, you know, Kiss historical kind of venue.
Yeah, the landmarks and stuff. But Joe was
gathering stick and bar. That's awesome. So I'd like to do that Saturday. And then Sunday, Joe is trying to set up something during lunchtime somewhere. So
it's going to be so much fun.
For all of us. Hopefully I'm putting the word out there for others.
Of course.
We can all see each other. Yes, we will have shots.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir. No doubt. So, John, we'd like to close the show with a question that both Pask and I, we love during our fan profile episodes. So what does being a Kiss fan mean to you?
Wow.
You got to go deep now. So.
Trying to think of in a word, but as far as my life goes, it meant freedom. It meant peace, and, you know, release, you know, and I think rock and roll kind of sums that up for a lot of people. But for me growing up, you know, in the lifestyle I had, I mean, to have Kiss, I mean, their lyrics, their mantra, their persona, you know, the superhero image, that everything just grabbed me, you know, pulled me in. And I think it guided me in down the wildest, most corrupt road you could go down. Just kidding. But
that's good. I loved it, man. I loved it. You know, you kind of summarize it with one word, you know, it's freedom. It's true, man. It gives you freedom, makes you feel free. Yeah. It's,
You know, John, we often hung out at the Cruise Fest and the Kiss Cruise, and I mean, we really partied up. We really did. But we never really got to know you, and now to have you on the show and to get to know you on a deeper level, you really are a class act. You really have this deep love for the band. And like Claudio said, and like you said, it's about freedom. That was a beautiful summary to your history and what it's all about, you know. And not to mention, I mean, hey, your service to your country. It says so much about you, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, respect, my friend, respect.
Respect to you guys, and thanks for you guys to have me on here. I feel honored and humble, honestly. And the fact that, you know, when we were just getting drunk and chatting about this and laughing, we all thought it was just a side note.
That's right. And now we're doing it.
We're doing it. Told you we would.
He's full of shit. This ain't gonna happen.
No, you know, it's I have to echo, you know, what Paz was saying, and it was such a pleasure, man, to have you and spend time with you and getting to know you more. And look, our next adventure, man, New York.
So
we're going to be there, yeah, man. We're going to be there having fun.
Keep in touch, and we'll make sure we get set up before we get there.
Absolutely. Yeah,
absolutely. All right.
Yes, so thanks again for being on the show.
God.
To the KISS Army. We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas, please send them to talktome@kissarmynationpodcast.com. Until the next episode, remember, never stop rocking. Take care, everyone. If you enjoyed this episode, like and subscribe on YouTube or follow us on Spotify, Podomatic, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Don't forget to make yourself heard. Leave us a comment on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. See you all soon, KISS Army.